Hello, movie and music fans. This is Sukin, your host on Sukin on Cinema and Sound. And today I am joined here by my mother.
Hi, everybody.
So we've listened and we'll be discussing one of the Beatles' most well-known albums, Abbey Road. This is actually the final album recorded by the Beatles. It was released in 1969, although it wasn't the final album released by the Beatles. That honor was given to the album Let It Be, which was actually recorded before this album, but that album ran into a lot of post-production problems where like sound engineers and producers kept coming out with different mixings, but the Beatles weren't satisfied, so it eventually kind of entered like a development hell phase. I think there are a lot of different ways we can start talking about this album, so I think the most obvious one to start out with is the album cover. This is definitely one of the most famous album covers of all time.
Yeah, so the Beatles are crossing a crosswalk, and I was curious how they got the name Abbey Road, but I understand that was the road where their recording studio is England, and then I also understand that the photographer had 10 minutes to take that shot and was standing up on a ladder, had to stop traffic, and maybe they took, I don't know, 10 or 20 pictures. And then they, chose the best one.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed that you know that much detail about it. But they are crossing the real Abbey Road. Mm-hmm. And even like over 50 years later, the Abbey Road and this crosswalk is still there. And it's a very famous tourist attraction for people to go visit there and recreate this very iconic photo. I've even seen photos of Paul McCartney recreating it with himself from like a couple years ago, and yeah, so it's always a lot of fun seeing people go back visit there and recreate this iconic image.
Great. Should we jump in? Because we have such an exciting album. I love that it's a mix of blues, rock, pop.
Yeah, one of the things that you pointed out while listening to this album is how there's just seems to be a lot of variety between the different songs. I think that's probably indicative of the state the band was in at this point. For the final 2 years of this band's history, they were kind of the studio sessions became increasingly more tense as the four just kind of grew like in different directions in terms of songwriting and the direction they wanted their albums to go in.
And I understand that Lennon left the band 6 days before the release date of this album.
That is right. He was the first Beatle to really leave the band. And that was a really symbolic gesture since he was the main one who founded the band in the first place. The Beatles were basically a skeleton crew after that. Of course, they didn't make any new music. They just kept, re-recording overdubs for the album that was in the development hell phase, Let It Be.
What do you mean by overdubs?
So overdubs mean that the basic skeletons of the song were there, like the guitars and the vocals, but maybe the songs were, for example, missing drums and just more detailed sections that the Beatles went back and recorded over.
Okay. What do you want to start with a certain song, or what would be your favorite on the album?
Yeah,
or
I think that's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
So John Lennon has actually said that his favorite song on the album is Something, which is one that George Harrison wrote. Meanwhile, Paul McCartney and George Harrison have said that their favorite song on the album is Because. I think both are really excellent picks. So I feel like this is an album where it is actually very hard to choose a favorite song. I feel like songs are really good for completely different reasons. If I had to choose one favorite, I think it might be Something.
Okay.
But well, tough choice.
For me, it'd be Here Comes the Sun. I just like how upbeat and happy it was. And as you pointed out when we were listening, on side one, it was I Want You, She's So Heavy. And then that kind of set a certain mood or tone. And then we flip the album over, and the first song is "Here Comes the Sun."
Yeah, and incidentally, both "Something" and "George" and "Here Comes the Sun" mm-hmm. are the two songs on this album that are written by George Harrison. And that was something I also wanted to discuss, because McCartney and Lennon were always the main songwriters of this band. George Harrison wrote his first song on, he wrote one song on their second album, and from then on, he just kind of slowly developed and came up with more songs and more complex songs, and he said that he got very little, motivation from McCartney and Lennon, so he was very much just, like, a self-made songwriter. And Ringo, on the other hand, this is only his second song that he wrote with the Beatles. And of course, this is his final song, since this is the final album. So I think the fact that we both like have Harrison's songs as our favorites show how much he grew as a songwriter and how much he proved he was capable of branching out as a solo artist after the disbandment of the Beatles. But how do you think Ringo Starr's only song was on this album, which is, of course, Octopus's Garden?
I really liked that. I felt like it was kind of a playful song.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. It was just different, you know?
Me too. I feel like I think of it as like a spiritual successor mm-hmm. to Yellow Submarine, which is a song that Ringo also sang. And, of course, both are themed after the ocean. And they're both kind of, I feel like, more children's songs. They're just really fun songs. So I feel like Ringo always does vocals for them, more kind of tongue-in-cheek and just fun, lighthearted songs. Another song you mentioned was "I Want You, She's So Heavy,"
mm-hmm.
which I feel like the Beatles really experimented with the album format on this album. That song is an example of that, because this song is almost 8 minutes long, and it ends on an abrupt ending where it's just this guitar riff and like this white noise that increases in volume, and it keeps like kind of growing for like maybe 3 minutes straight, this long instrumental and repeating until it just suddenly cuts to complete silence, and that ends side one on like this dead ominous note. And then of course another experimentation with the album format is the famous medley, which is a really big defining characteristic of this album.
Yeah, I understand that Lennon wanted all his songs, or most of them, on one side of the album, and McCartney's on the other, and the album is really in two halves, where there was a compromise. McCartney wanted to continue his thematic approach from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band by using the medley on the second side.
Yeah, I feel like that this album overall, I think of it as kind of a compromise between a lot of the band members, what they excelled best at in terms of songwriting, mm. and what they valued going into an album.
Okay.
And not into the cohesiveness of the album. I think I pointed out, but I feel like, the song "Because" and "I Want You, She's So Heavy" have a very similar melody, as where they borrow from part of the melody, even though they deviate from it somewhat, as well as "You Never Give Me Your Money," which is the first song on the medley, and then the penultimate song of the medley, "Carry That Weight," kind of repeats the melody from "Here, You Never Give Me Your Money."
Yeah, I didn't. It's really remarkable. I didn't realize that as we were listening, and then when you played it back for me, it's pretty darn similar, isn't it?
Yeah. I also asked you if this seemed like kind of an ending statement of the band, mm-hmm. and yeah, I think that's the medley is a really fantastic way to cap off their career, especially the final part of the medley aptly called "The End."
Do you feel like when they recorded that, they knew that this was it for them?
Well, "The End" is actually the last time the four of them recorded a song together. So I think they definitely knew they were pushing the end of the road, but I don't think that they were certain this would be their last album. The end actually has like a section where the three of them kind of duel with like guitar solos with the three guitarists, George, Paul, and John Lennon, each having alternating guitar solos, and then it ends with a couplet that Paul McCartney came up with called, which is, "And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make." That's really become one of the most famous of the Beatles lyrics, and I think it's a really great message that kind of summarizes the Beatles' music and stories. Of course, this isn't the end of the album, though, because after maybe 15 seconds of silence is a song that isn't listed on the track listing, but it is called Her Majesty. This song was actually planned to be part of the medley, but they didn't like how the pacing was, so they decided to cut it. So the Beatles told the engineers to leave it out, but the engineers were also told that they could rearrange parts of the album, but they couldn't remove parts. So it was just some miscommunication that occurred. And what happened was that Her Majesty appeared at the very end of the album after some moments of silence. And when the Beatles heard the completed album for the first time, they actually really liked how it turned out. They thought it was even though the end is a big show closer, mm-hmm. I feel like Her Majesty is kind of like an encore. It's a nice little giddy, and it's become one of the most famous examples of a hidden track on an album.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I was surprised to hear it. I thought it was over.
Yeah, I can start telling you about it so you wouldn't be too surprised, but yeah I'm glad you did. I was interested, about what you thought.
Yes.
Of course, the song I've mentioned is Because, which is Paul McCartney and George Harrison's favorite song on the album. And it's actually, I remember you saying that it was one you've never heard before listening to this album.
Yeah, I hadn't heard it, and then just looking at the lyrics, it just looks so simplistic. Each, what would you call it? Phrase or stanza,
yeah,
they're what, 4 or 5 words, very simple, but it was a very impactful song.
Yeah, I think the harmonies are really beautiful. It's one that John Lennon was the main writer of,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting. He's actually defended his lyrics. He said that he wanted lyrics that kind of speak for themselves and don't overcomplicate things. I think it really does a really good job of that.
Yeah.
It's just talking about it. It's a song that really talks about just being in awe of existence itself, I think. Because the world just round, it turns me on. Because the wind is high, and just really taking the environment all in. Are there any other songs you want to comment on?
No, I guess my only comment is, I just looked at the titles of these before we listened to it, and I thought, okay, maybe I'll know a couple. And before we got to side two, I recognized, well, a couple on side two, but every song pretty much on side one. And I feel like I didn't really grow up with that album, but just over the years, hearing it,
the
songs.
With all these songs have, I think, aged really well. I feel like mm-hmm. Abbey Road, as well as an album that is aged really well, which I think is the result of it being the final album they recorded together.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting thing to note, though, is that this album was number one on the charts when it first released, and on the 50th anniversary, it actually hit number one again, at least in the UK and its home country. And that's, I think, the only time that has ever happened, with that big of a time span in between topping the charts. So, of course, this album was a really big commercial hit when it first released, but it was not, I think it was one of the few Beatles albums that was not a critical success when it was released. Critical reviews at the time were very lukewarm toward it. They thought the album was just, felt very inauthentic. They thought the production just seemed, they didn't like how the production felt really artificial with the studio effects that the Beatles implemented. Now, though, this album's actually considered, I think, by many or most, to be the Beatles' best album. And
I agree with that. Yeah. I have to agree.
So, what do you think happened 50 years ago. Like, you think the critics just really got along with this album as well?
I don't know why. I mean, I don't know if they didn't appreciate the... I just don't know what it is. Or if they compared it to some of their other albums, or maybe they were fed up with the drama that might have been going on between the band members. I'm just not sure. What do you think?
Yeah, well, yeah, that would be the drama. I think people were just happy that whenever mm-hmm. Beatle product came out. I think maybe I know it's cliche, but I'm mm-hmm. guessing it was just music that was too far ahead of its time. I can see how the critics didn't like how the production felt artificial because of the studio effects, because there were a lot of studio effects that are the Beatles used on this album that I think in today's era a lot of people appreciate, and I think it really adds to the complexity of the songwriting. I guess maybe one final song that's really interesting to talk about is Come Together. So the only single that was released off this album was the double A-side of Come Together and Something. It was actually released a few days after this album, which is something the Beatles had never done. They always released singles before the album. In fact, John Lennon went on record to say that you shouldn't release a single after the album has been released, because that's kind of like double dipping for an artist. And it seems obvious that they're just doing it to make more money, but he was actually the one that advocated releasing the single after the album because he just loved George Harrison's song Something that much, and he really wanted the song to increase in popularity. Of course, it was a double A side to his own song Come Together. Yeah, what are your thoughts on Come Together? It's probably one of the Beatles' most popular and most played songs today. So what are your thoughts on it?
I really liked it. Catchy and a great song, but I thought that the lyrics, I really was studying them as we were playing it, and some of the, I had a hard time understanding, like they would say, he got juju eyeball, and like, what do they mean by that? And, you know, he got monkey finger and he got toe jam football, but it all must
have yeah, that's
something.
It is very typical of John Lennon's style of songwriting, where he kind of he really dabbles into the surreal. This song actually has an interesting history where he was requested to write it for someone who is running for the governor of California. And his, I forgot what his name was, but his kind of, not catchphrase, but yeah, his campaign slogan was Come Together. So he reached out to Lennon and wanted him to write the song. Lennon knew he wasn't coming up with, like, a song that would be good for a campaign song, but this was the song that he came up with. The guy who was running for governor ended up being imprisoned for marijuana possession, so Lennon repurposed the song for a Beatles song. So I think that may explain the part about Come Together Right Now Over Me. It's kind of placing the narrator, who I think would have been the person running for governor, as like a figurehead, and I guess like his like followers kind of just coming together, unifying under his name. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the album, and I think to conclude, I generally agree with the modern critical appraisal of this album, and I think it really is my personal favorite album that the Beatles have ever made. It's impressive that they were even nearing their breakup, they finished it off on top.
They absolutely did, and I'm just so thrilled that you surprised me with this pick of an album to listen to tonight.
I'm glad we were both able to enjoy listening to it together and had a great discussion on some of the behind-the-scenes occurrences and, some of our favorite songs as well. Well, thank you for tuning in. be sure to tune in on our next episode, which I'm sure will be another exciting pick. And this is Such a Non-Cinema and Sound.
Have a great week, everybody.